SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, this is the good, bad, and the dumb for your Friday. Let's go into the weekend strong. Let's go into the weekend strong with a good, good.
What do we got for you? Good, good. This was announced yesterday. I'm sure you saw it because I know you're all up in this world.
Yes.
But Disney.
Oh, yeah.
Announced the official opening dates for the upcoming Star Wars lands.
Oh, yes.
In both Disneyland and Disney World. And for both of them, they're a little ahead of schedule.
They are, yeah.
That's good news.
I was at Disney World over the Christmas holidays. I was there Christmas Eve, and I was in the park that the Star Wars land is built, and it looked, you could see it from one of the rides, and it looked really good. It looked really neat.
I'm going to give you these odds, and I know in Star Wars you're not supposed to tell you the odds.
Right. Don't tell me the odds.
I'm going to tell you it'll probably be a 1-to-1 that a tear might be shed. By yours truly.
Oh, I bet. Sure.
As you walk in, just because I saw a, I don't know what kind of video it is, like what they call those, like a teaser video of of the Smuggler's Run, which is the ride of Millennium Falcon
ride. Yeah.
I mean, that ride to me, where it's not only are you on a ride that looks similar to what Star Tours is, but the fact that it's interactive.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
That I'm excited for.
It's really going to be great. It's funny because a little theme park thing for you. When Universal Studios had the Harry Potter world, they made it so that it was, an immersive experience. Like you should go there really feeling like you're in that world. There isn't anything that should be out of place. If it's not in that world, it's not in that world at the theme park. And Universal did a good job of that. That's what this Star Wars land is supposed to be. When you go to it, it's supposed to feel like you're on this planet with these characters walking around like they do in the movie, just seeing different people in costumes and whatnot, like you're actually in an international kind of setting, interplanetary setting, I should say, on this planet, whatever it's themed. And that's basically how that's going to be. You should be able to get blue milk.
That's what I was going to ask. You get the option because now we also have green milk.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. You get both, right?
Get the both.
But yeah, it's going to be pretty big, so it's going to be neat. But if you like waiting 4 hours for a ride,
That will be the case, and then eventually it will die down or get there really, really early and try to be the first one in line.
Yeah, really, yeah.
But
you know what is always amazing to me about that? There is somebody out there that is the first person to ride something.
First public person.
First public person.
Obviously, a lot of people
do it. Yeah, they do that. Disney World, for example, opened Avatar Land, right? And they have this ride where you are like you're on one of those birds from the movie. Like it's a virtual reality thing. And the line for that is always like 3 hours plus, whatever. But to think that there is somebody that when that opened up officially to the public, he was the first person in line for that ride. Like how he got there, I have no idea. How he got, how long he had to wait,
How early did he spend the night?
How did he get in the park ahead of everybody? But somebody was the first person to ride that publicly, without a special pass or anything like that. And he's walking around today, or she's walking around today, going, "Yeah, I rode that. I was the first one when they dropped the rope. I was number one." That's kind of wild.
I can't wait.
So
the bad for this Good Friday. It's not Good Friday, but Friday. There's two bads.
Okay,
today,
two bads.
And they both deal with vegans.
Oh, okay.
My bad are vegans and
vegans.
But I have two vegan stories.
What have they done to you now?
It wasn't what they've done to me. Well, we'll let you be the judge of it. In Lincolnshire, which I believe isn't over in England, because anything with the shire added to it, I believe, is always going to be in England.
Or Hobbitland.
Right. 200 vegans stormed a farm to cuddle with newborn pigs in a protest against pork, and ended up crushing two piglets to death.
Oh. Okay, that's really sad, but at the same time, not bad.
Isn't it ironic?
Yeah, it's sad for the poor piglets, but they were going to be bacon eventually anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
So in a protest, they stormed this farm to cuddle with pigs so they could, you know, show that, hey, you know, animal cruelty, this is bad. Love pigs, don't eat them. And they ended up crushing two pigs to death.
Well done. Now, how do you think a vegan processes that death? Like, do they just, that would, because that's got to be a deep psychological damaging.
It's got to be, right?
Right? Like, you're trying to protect the pigs. You don't want them to die for food, but you killed one or two, and you got to feel the weight of that somehow. Right? I mean, that could take some psychological counseling, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
to get over that kind of death.
The group is called Meet the Victims. Meet is M-E-A-T. Yes, and they wanted to try to raise awareness for the cruelty of pig farming.
Oh, you got to be kidding.
My other vegan story, and this one affects all of us. I mean, yeah. And on one hand, it's good. Maybe we found a way to feed the hungry. But on another way, on the other end of it, is it worth going through this? Would you? I mean, first of all, would you eat it? I don't know why they did this, but they created a vegan steak made by a 3D printer.
Oh, I saw this. Yes. Yes.
And I will tell you this, looking at the photos and the video, Spam looks 100% more appetizing.
I have no interest in this whatsoever. None. No interest in this. By the way, I don't. This is old man me again. Okay, so please.
3D printing.
I should have a sounder whenever I'm getting into old man mode. I don't get 3D printing at all. I don't know how it's done. And here's the other thing. To me, the one drawback, like my son wants a 3D printer, like a cheaper 3D printer, not one of those super industrial, powerful ones.
Not one that can produce a vegan steak.
Well, I told him, I said, you're going to make chess pieces because that's really all it's good for, isn't it? What are you going to make with it? He goes, you can make screws and stuff. I go, well, I can go to the store and get screws and stuff. I was like, I don't need to buy a $3,000 3D printer for that. But the reality is, don't you need the material? And isn't that expensive?
I would imagine.
Right? Like, you can't just make screws. Like, it's not a magic box. It needs, like, if you need a screw, you need molten metal. If it's going to make... Like, they talk about these things like a 3D printer made a dress. Yeah, but you have to give it cloth. It's not a magic machine. Like, I want this and have it come out and it just appears in a box. You have to give the box the material for it. Right? Like, you can't say it made a gold, you know, statue. You have to give it gold in order for it to make the statue. So I don't know how that works.
And see, for me, my pea-sized brain, which is, you know, I'm not going to go the route of being old man, get off my lawn guy here. But isn't basically all 3D printing? Isn't that all just plastic?
That's what I thought.
I mean, I see the benefits
you can make
of
metal items if you give it molten metal. It will do that.
Yeah, but. And then at the same time, you can make a vegan steak that supposedly is edible.
Yeah, right. You give the 3D printer like a liquefied version of that meat, right? Or whatever it is, whatever they're making it out of. You give the 3D printer the liquefied. All it did was take that liquefied meat and put it into a patty. Like, I could do that. I don't need a machine to do that. It made a patty meat. Stupid. It's like if you make me a nice chess piece, okay, that's fine. I can't do that. Or if you make me a nice Statue of Liberty
The 3D printing, like where I see the true benefit of it is making a good plastic hip.
That's what I see.
Or
yes.
You know, like or screws to
exactly
that you know. I always see it like in surgical references, and I'm like, okay, that makes a lot of sense to me.
They made an ear, like an artificial ear.
Yes, make an ear.
That's perfect.
That's fantastic.
Right. But in your house, what are you going to do with it? What are you really going to do with it? It's going to become a toy.
It's about as useful as a label maker.
That's exactly right. All right. What's the dumb for this?
The dumb. And, forgive us for not getting to the story yesterday. But, you know, we do have an early morning show and sometimes news drops after our show. I don't know if you saw this. Otto Porter Jr.,
I did see this, yeah.
He missed the final seconds of the game. It was Bulls against Sixers. He missed the final seconds of the game the other night because he was, how do we say, in the middle of his league-mandated drug test.
I did see this story.
Now, I don't know. I don't know the particulars if he was pulled aside right at that time, but don't you think that the league could make certain allowances? Of saying, hey, maybe not right now is a good time. Maybe we'll come back, you know, 10 minutes from now to let you finish out the game. But he said he couldn't get away. And if you're a man, you know exactly why.
Yeah, that's right. Well done. That is good. Yeah. I did see that story. That was rather amusing.
I mean, that goes up there, I think, like with, you know, the Manny Ramirez disappearing behind the wall at Fenway.
Oh yeah, you know, exactly.
Just great, great relief stories.
The Broncos used to talk about just going in your pants.
Yeah,
offensive lineman for the Broncos.
You know, the great relief stories of sports history.
You just go.
The soccer player. If you ever see a soccer player, I don't think they do it professionally, but you know, especially maybe at the collegiate level, definitely at the youth level. And I'm not saying this from experience, wink, wink. But if you see a soccer player kneeling down for quite some time, tying his shoe's tied.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they take the one knee. There was usually a reason why, you know, someone was off to the side, off the field. Over to the side, tying their shoe for a really long time.
That's what people do standing in Times Square for New Year's Eve all day when they sit out there for 13 hours waiting for the ball to drop. I guess they just
go.
Yeah, they ain't gonna find a place in New York City to go to the bathroom.
That's true. Well, because all those, you know, they don't have public restrooms for customers only.
Get it? Every time I take my kids into the city, we'd always go. Gotta go. If you gotta go, go now because we didn't find a place to go. It's hard to find a place to go in New York, especially on New Year's Eve. You ain't going to find any place to go, so you might as well just go where you're at, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, SB Nation AM rolling along on a Friday on SB Nation Radio.